Hey, wonderful. Praise the Lord. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 4 this morning, and the message is faith's offering, worship that pleases God. The question I want to ask you this morning is this: why are you here today? Why are you here today? And this is a very important question for us to examine and to ask ourselves and to reflect upon as we have gathered together in order to worship God. We read from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Thank you, Carl, for reading that for us. And I want to, as we consider what's happening here in Genesis chapter 4, I want us to consider what true worship is all about, how we can come to God and give Him what it is that He is looking for from us. And I want to examine our motives and our reasons and our methods of worshiping Him today. As we consider Cain and Abel, the first thing I want us to look at is the offerings, understanding the offerings. So we had two children. We're moving on from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they were in the garden and they were perfect and they messed it up for all of us. And we moved past Adam and Eve to their two children, Cain and Abel. And it really is a tragic story. If we're talking about the first two children of the most perfect couple before the fall, things just could not have gone any worse than they did. It just gets really bad. So we have Cain and Abel. They have grown up a little bit. Time has passed. And they come before God in order to make an offering to Him. Now it says, let me just read over a couple of the verses again. It says in verse 1, "Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, 'I have acquired a man from the Lord.' Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So they grow up and they have their respective jobs. One takes care of the animals, one takes care of the ground, growing the crops and so on. And both of those jobs are critical. They're necessary. There's nothing in their jobs that would distinguish them one from the other or would put one over the other. And you know, as we're coming to worship here this morning too, we're doing the same thing. We have our jobs, right? I mean, I look out over here, and some of you are in IT, and some of you work in businesses, and some of you are managers, and some of you take care of the grounds, and some of you, what do some of you do? We got some ex-police officers here. We got somebody that's working over at that secret, super secret place over there in Harper's Ferry, and you know, we got a number of different people here. We got some pastors in here. Anybody pastors? We all have our jobs, and in that sense, there's no distinction. There's no difference. There's no better one better than the other because of the jobs that we do. We have our jobs, and in a certain sense, the majority of jobs serve a purpose in our community and provide a service, and you know, on and on and on it goes. There's no distinction. And so Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel, and Cain and Abel had their jobs, and they did their jobs, and there's no distinction between them because of the jobs that they worked. And so we're all the same in that. We have our jobs, and there's no distinction between us because of the jobs that we do. However, they both came to worship God. And at this point, we have a critical juncture. We have choices that must be made. We have acts that are performed, and the reasons and the things that are going on between these offerings makes a difference. And this is where there's a departure between Cain and Abel. They had their jobs, and they come to worship, and they bring their offerings, and the offerings that they bring are, they bring them according to their work. Both of them. So Cain works the ground, and he brings his offering from the ground. Abel took care of the animals, and he brought his offering from the animals. And this is where the departure takes place, as we shall see. So let's read verses 3 and 4 now. Verse 2 again, Abel was the keeper of the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Verse 3, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." So Why did this happen? Why did God acknowledge Abel's offering, and why did he reject Cain's offering? And this is important for us to consider this morning, because here we are bringing our offerings to the Lord, and I hope you are here with me wanting the offering to be accepted by him, right? Right, so Abel brings the first, which is an important word there, the first of his flocks, and the fat, and that's an important clue as well. And he offers a burnt offering unto the Lord. So this is Abel's offering, and there are some important clues in the kind of offering that he brought. Cain, on the other hand, brought an offering from the ground. In other words, you know, he grew some fruit, and he brought some of that as an offering to the Lord. Anybody started growing some things? Anybody? We got a couple? That's it? Just like four of you? Anybody? All right. My wife is going absolutely crazy growing stuff. I just don't know what happened. There's just like things growing everywhere. In my bedroom, on my deck, in the kitchen. It's just everywhere. Out in the yard. Everywhere. Sorry, honey. Didn't mean to embarrass you, but all right. This is what Cain did. He grew some stuff, and he brought the offering to the Lord. Now, a grain offering was a legitimate offering. If you look in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 2, there was the law of the grain offering, and so there was an opportunity for people to bring grain offerings unto the Lord. So what was wrong? What went wrong with Cain's offering? Now, it says simply that Cain brought from the fruit of the ground a gift to the Lord. Some suggest, because it was rejected, some suggest that it wasn't mixed right. When a grain offering was offered unto the Lord, it was usually mixed with oil, and there's no mention of that, and so maybe he didn't do it quite right. Some suggest that maybe he had the wrong kind of offering. He brought grain, and he should not have brought grain. It said of Abel's offering that he brought the first to the Lord, but it does not say that of Cain's offering. He just brought his offering, so maybe he didn't bring the right offering. Some suggest that he held back, that his heart was not right before the Lord. And I think there's some truth to all of this. So when we read verses 5 through 7, it says this. It says, "But he did not respect Cain in his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen?'" So God addressed Cain directly. "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." So the implication here in these verses is that Cain did not do so well in the bringing of his offering. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And so as he's bringing his offering, he was not doing well, whatever that means or meant. He did not do it. And so he was not accepted. Well, let's look at an important passage in the New Testament this time, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, and it reflects back on what happened with Cain and Abel. And there are three things that we can draw from this passage concerning Abel's offering to the Lord. So first of all, let me read the passage. It says, By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, though through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. So the first thing we see from this passage is that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. His offering was a better sacrifice. Abel's offering was a better sacrifice. Now, why was it a better sacrifice? Well, for any of us that have been in church for a long time and we've read these things, the better sacrifice of Abel was due to the fact that it was a burnt offering, and that was the offerings that were required for sins. When somebody sinned, they were required to bring an animal and to sacrifice it and to burn it, and that would atone for the sins. And so knowing that, we can see Abel's sacrifice as being a better sacrifice than just a mere, you know, grain offering, which was more of a thanksgiving offering than a sacrifice for sins. Now, would they have known? Would Abel and Cain have known as to what kind of offering they were supposed to bring. And yes, they would have known. They would have had some clues. They would have had some instruction. We see, after all, that after Cain offers his offering, that God comes to him and talks to him about it and gives him a chance. So Adam and Eve, after all, we're going to talk about Adam and Eve again. Here we go. Adam and Eve, they sinned. And when they sinned, they realized they were naked and they were ashamed. So their sin awakened within them this guilty conscience. And having sinned and feeling the guilt, there was shame that came as a result of that. And what did they want to do? They wanted to cover their shame. They wanted to cover their nakedness. Now, the only thing that they had available in order to do that with was the plants, right? Because there was no animals available to them. There was no death up until that point. They did not have an idea of what it meant for an animal to die. The thought of using animals in order to cover the nakedness was just not on the radar at all. And so they go to the plants and they get some fig leaves and they use that for covering. That's what it says in Genesis 3. Verse 7, you can look that up if you want to look back the next chapter, the previous chapter here. It says, then the eyes of both of them, Adam and Eve, were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So they sin, they're guilty, they're ashamed before God, and they take the leaves and they cover themselves. That's what they did. Well, God comes to Adam and Eve after that, and he confronts them, just like he confronted Cain. He confronted them. And it says in verse 21 that for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So God comes to them. He sees them covered in fig leaves. And that was not a sufficient covering. So what did he do? God killed an animal and made tunics from the skin, clothing from the skin, and he gave it to them so that they would cover themselves. And for Adam and Eve, this is the first exposure to death. How horrible is that? Death and blood for what they did. And it's kind of an eye-opening experience for them. They didn't just sin and, oh, I'm so sorry, and that was my bad. I shouldn't have done that. Give me a second chance. It wasn't like that. What they did was very serious, so serious that they had to experience before their eyes death. Because God said, in the day you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. So now death comes into the picture, and they're viewing it firsthand. Because of their sin, that animal died. And God used the skin in order to make them clothing. And so all of that just kind of went into the mix of what Adam and Eve and their relationship to God was all about and what was required. And not only had they had sinned big time. And the requirement for covering that sin or atoning for that sin or whatever word you want to use, the requirement for forgiving that sin was death and the shedding of blood. And so that is passed down. There is some knowledge from Adam and Eve and on to Cain and Abel. And when Cain and Abel had to come before the Lord, Abel brought the animal and killed it and sacrificed it on the altar for his sins. That was his offering. That was the good and the faithful offering, the more excellent sacrifice. Abel had it right before God, and he offered the right sacrifice, a more excellent sacrifice. And Cain did not do that. Now, I wonder, Cain had he was exposed to the same knowledge. They both knew the same thing. It wasn't that Abel had some special knowledge that Cain did not have. They both had the same knowledge. And I wonder if Cain was too proud to ask Abel for an animal for himself. Now, I can see that. Here's Abel, the younger brother, Cain, the older brother, thinking to himself, I'm not going to ask him for an animal. I'm not going to do that. Maybe he was just too proud to get the right kind of sacrifice. We were studying in our Bible study before church this morning how Joseph was hated by his brothers. They were jealous. They hated him because he was favored and their father had kept on blessing him. And that jealousy, that hatred caused them, well, they were going to kill him first directly and use his blood and take it back to the father. And then they decided, well, we'll just throw him in a pit. Well, that was still killing him, but not so directly. They were just going to let him die in the pit. But then, the traitors came and they sold him to the traitors and sold him off. But their jealousy and their hatred prevented them or kept them from doing what was right. And maybe Cain, before the offering of this sacrifice, maybe he was jealous of Abel and what Abel was doing. Maybe he was too proud to ask for the right kind of sacrifice, so he brought what he had, which was the grain offering, which was not what God required. Now, Abel offers a more excellent sacrifice. That's first. Second, he offers it by faith. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. So, it wasn't just that he had the right sacrifice. He offered it to God by faith. Now, what does it mean that he had faith in God? Well, it meant that he was respectful of God, that he believed in God, that he was willing to do what God had said. He was willing to go through the hoops of what God had laid out for them. He was willing to do that. He had faith in God. He wanted to please God. He wanted to honor God. He wanted to do what was right before God. He had faith in God. And so he takes this more excellent sacrifice, and he takes it before the Lord and offers it in faith. Cain did not have faith. Maybe he was even offering the offering just out of obligation. They had to do it. Maybe their parents are making them do it. I don't know. Maybe he was saying, well, I have to go to church, but I really don't want to go. Or maybe he was saying, well, my wife was making me go to church this morning. I don't know. Or maybe he was thinking, oh, what are people going to think if I don't go to church today? You know these excuses, right? And that's why I'm asking, why are you here today? What are you doing here today? We don't want to be like Cain. We don't want to be obligated. We don't want to do it because we have to do it. We want to do it because we love God and it is right to do. So Cain did not have this faith. Abel also offered this offering, this more excellent offering. He offers it by faith and it testifies to his righteousness. So look at the verse again. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. So the right sacrifice that he offered, Abel did, testified or gave witness that in his heart, he was right before God. He had a right heart before God. And so there are these three things, these three elements. The right sacrifice by faith that testifies that it's coming from the right heart. And so this becomes important for us. Now there's a verse in the New Testament that speaks of Cain as well, and it's eye-opening. This is 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? In other words, what was the reason that caused this murder to take place? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. So this shows that even before the sacrifice, there is something going on. There is a wickedness in the heart of Cain. It even calls him as being one of the wicked, along with the wicked one. That's part as was of the wicked one, Satan, the devil. And this was his wicked heart by which he came before God, trying to make an offering unto him. And of course, he failed. God knows our hearts, right? I mean, we could do it on the outside. We can show ourselves right on the outside. We can go through all of the motions. But God knows what's on the inside. We cannot hide it from God. And what is necessary for us to do is not just conform on the outside, but let what's on the inside be transformed. And so it comes to our second point this morning, grasping true worship. So we've seen Cain and Abel, we've seen their offerings, and we've seen some verses that comment on these offerings. So how then do we apply this to us? How do we grasp what is necessary for us to truly worship God this morning? First of all, we look to Jesus, who was our true sacrifice. So we're talking about the sacrifice for sins. We're all sinners, even those of us who have been in church 100 years. I'm almost there, but not quite. No, actually, I'm not even halfway there, but I feel like I'm there 100 years. But even me, all of us, we're not perfect. There's the sin, and we receive our forgiveness of sins continuously because of the blood that was shed for us on the cross by Jesus Christ. I don't get better. I don't become more perfect necessarily, except for what he's doing through me. I rest upon his sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice. So Abel brought his offering to atone for sin. Jesus offered himself, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, as the perfect sacrifice for us. So it says, walk in love, as Christ also has loved us. So he loves us, all of us, you and me. Doesn't matter who we are or what we have done. He loves us. He gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So just as Abel offered a pleasing sacrifice to God, Jesus himself offered himself as the sacrifice which was received by the Father on our behalf. That's why we talk about his sacrifice and the forgiveness that we can receive. And so we come to Jesus, we receive his sacrifice, we acknowledge it, we accept it by faith, we receive it into our hearts, and we receive the forgiveness of sins. That is the only way we can receive the forgiveness of sins. So you examine yourself, look at your own life, where you're from, what you have done. Take all of that, the whole, and just put it at the feet of Jesus. His blood will take care of it all. All of it. And so Jesus offers himself as the perfect sacrifice, and he becomes then, in turn, the model for our sacrifices. The sacrifices that we are to make. So, we don't offer an animal anymore like Abel did. We don't have to do that because Jesus is our sacrifice. But the sacrifices that we offer as New Testament believers, as believers in Jesus, are a little bit different, but they are still necessary. They are still there for us to offer. I want to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. And so as we think about offering our sacrifices, we want to remember that we're doing it through our relationship with Jesus. So coming to him, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's the part that we're supposed to do, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we come through Jesus Christ this morning to this place to worship him and to offer our sacrifice to him. We do it through our relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, what are the spiritual sacrifices that we are to offer? Well, there are three in particular. It says in Philippians 4:18 and Hebrews 13:15 that we are to, whenever we do good and help one another, that is a sacrifice that we are offering up to God. Okay? So doing good to one another is important. Another sacrifice that the New Testament tells us, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, calls it the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. So when we sang our songs, we were offering a praise unto God. Thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for dying for me, thank you for the new life that I have, and all the things that we sing. We're singing praises unto God. Those are sacrifices unto God. But it's also a sacrifice of praise whenever we thank him, whenever we do for him what he has called us to do, going back to these good works. In Romans 12, it says, it talks about the sacrifice of our lives. Our whole life is a sacrifice to God. It's like, okay, I've made a mess of my life, God. I've got all of these sins, but I come to you and I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and you shed your blood. Please forgive me. And he does. And now, oh Lord, thank you for forgiving me. I offer myself to you. I am going to live for you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The sacrifice of ourselves. Okay, so we take all of these things, and that would include our being here in church and our singing of the praises and our listening to the Word of God and looking at it and for instruction as to what to do. We take all of that. We take all of that together, and this is our offering to God. Is he receiving it? Or is he displeased with it today? Are you coming in Jesus? Or are you coming in your own strength? And your own thinking about things in your own ways. That matters. Furthermore, there is a spiritual dimension to our worship. John chapter 4, I think Colin might have mentioned this, or maybe Ben this morning. Says this in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. The hour is coming and now is, Jesus is saying, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Well, what does that mean? First of all, real quickly, worship in truth means we have to worship the right way, the true way, the way that God has told us. Adam and Eve knew what God required. Cain and Abel knew what God required, and they had a choice. Am I going to do it God's way, or am I going to do it my way? So we worship in truth. I hope we come with a desire to do it God's way. Anyway, if we worship him rightly, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, God is a spirit. That means we just can't see him. We can't go somewhere and shake hands with him or anything like that. He is spirit. He is a spirit. We cannot see him. And because he is a spirit, then our offerings must be spiritual in nature. Even as we do this thing of coming to church physically. So, we got up early to get ready for church, right? Because you made it here. You're not still sleeping, so here you are. And we got ready and we did whatever we had to do, maybe eat or not eat or whatever it is. You got in your car and you drove to this place. And here you are, you made it. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. Victory. Because that's not always a victory. It's not always what happens. But we've done it. We've done these physical things, and we have sit here, and now we're sitting here, and we've sung our songs, and we've shaken hands and hugged one another, and now you're listening to this guy speaking on and on and on and on, and you're doing it. You're doing it physically. But are you doing it through the Spirit of God because of what Jesus has done? Are you offering it to him? And so what we want to do is take our cues from Abel. We want to be led by the Spirit as we offer these physical things spiritually unto God. We want to do what is right. We want to help others. We want to live the way that he wants us to live. So here are some verses for us to consider. First of all, Romans chapter 8, verse 10. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, this body is not dead because of sin. I mean, I'm not keeled out on the floor, but it means that there is this flesh of me, this body of mine, and the things that I do just by road or just by acting doesn't necessarily mean that I'm doing it spiritually in a way that is pleasing to him. In other words, I could just be going through the motions outwardly in this body of mine without having the spiritual life behind it by which it must be offered. So if Christ is in you, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I now have the opportunity to serve him right. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires or lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Have you ever felt like that? I want to do this right, I just can't do it. I try really hard, and I just can't get it to where it's supposed to be. I think that reflects all of our struggles. Why? Because there is this flesh that we are contending with that has desires contrary to the Spirit of God. So I feel like going this way, and I start to go this way, and the Spirit says, no, go this way. Come on. And I, okay, and I go back to, no, this way. So there's this this tension. The flesh wants to go one way, and the Spirit wants to go the other. And the encouragement here is walk in the Spirit. Yield yourselves to the Spirit. Do what you do through the Spirit of God, that it might be acceptable unto God. So Cain offered his offering, and he did it like this, with no faith. He offered the wrong sacrifice out of a life that did not seek to honor God. He was unrighteous. So, if there's any one of those three elements, our worship can be off and not pleasing to God. He had no faith. He brought the wrong sacrifice, and he was unrighteous in bringing it. Abel, on the other hand, had faith. He brought the right sacrifice, and he did it out of a righteous heart, because of his relationship to him. And so with Jesus Christ, we stand in a better position to come to church and to go from church. And you know, living for God is not just a Sunday morning thing, right? We all know that. This is where we recharge our batteries, if you will, so that when we go forth, we continue to live for him throughout the rest of the week. It says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, not the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit of God. So we yield ourselves to him. We have a relationship to him. And hopefully we are here because we believe in him. We love him. We have faith in him. We come not bringing a sacrifice that we want to bring from our work, per se. We come because he said to come. We come because he wants us to fellowship. We come because this is what he has called us to do, to assemble in his name and to worship him, to gather together in his name and to worship him. We come because we have faith, and we come because we seek to live for him now that he has transformed us. So he has given me a new life, and now according to this new life, I will walk according to his ways. Of course, we're going to fail, but we cast ourselves upon him and we trust in him. All right. But our heart, Abel wasn't any more perfect than I am, but his life was a righteous life because every step of the way, even through the failures, he sought to honor God because he loved him and believed in him. And that's what we ought to do. Let us bring our sacrifices through Jesus Christ out of faith in order to please him. So why are you here today? Have you come, and is God pleased with the sacrifice you have offered him today? Is he? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Accept Christ, examine your offering, and take the next appropriate step. So you might say, all right, Pastor, I came this morning, but I did not have faith. I came and I was angry. I came because I had to. I just felt obligated. I came and I just did not feel like coming, but I came anyways. Well, it's good that you came. But these other reasons that were off have to be taken care of. Lord, forgive me for my wrong attitudes. Forgive me for my lack of faith. Forgive me for being so consumed by this other thing and not thinking about you. Forgive me for that. Cain is confronted by God and has an opportunity to change. And we'll actually see that next week, Lord willing. He had the opportunity. How do we handle it when we have failed before God? So that we don't end up doing what Cain did when he killed his brother Abel. A despicable, horrible act. Let us come with an offering like Abel. With faith, the right sacrifice, and out of a righteous life that springs from our relationship to Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's stand as we worship Him this morning.